This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. This time we are talking about mental health.
I'm not just a walking bladder. There's a lot more to me than that.
You forget we're all in this profession to care for people. We forget to take care of ourselves a little bit sometimes. I've been doing it since I was 14 and there are still days where it gets me down.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. As we know, this week is both Mental Health Awareness Week and also International Nurses Week. So I thought, it's an important topic all year round, but what better week to really get down that route of mental health discussion? So I am once again joined by two wonderful experts by experience, our Coloplast ambassadors. You have met them both before, but I will let them do another little introduction to themselves. So I'm joined by Danny and Keith. So in the spirit of ladies first, Danny, do you want to just give the listeners a quick reminder about yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Danny. I'm 42 and I live in Winchester and I worked in anaesthetics and surgery for 20 years. And I have been using ISC most of my adult life, and I started when I was a teenager, and I've been using it full-time now for about 5 years.
Thanks, Danny, and nice to have you back. And Keith.
Hi, everybody. My name's Keith, and I'm a mental health nurse by profession, but I've worked in higher education until November when I retired. And I've got benign prostate hyperplasia and I've been using intermittent self-catheterisation now for probably about 6 years.
Thanks, Keith. And again, thank you so much for coming back and joining me. Now, the reason I chose you two guys was obviously you've got your absolute passion from a patient perspective regarding mental health, but you've also got medical background as well. So Keith, with your mental health nurse, and Danny, you, as you said, you worked in theatre design aesthetics. So you're both able to look at this topic from two different sides of things, I think, which is really, really important, and why it's so nice to have you guys on. Because I think it's not just, yes, we look at the mental health of patients, but actually mental health for somebody that's working in that environment as well, where you are dealing with tricky situations, is so important as well. So Danny, I want you to look first of all from your patient perspective, how much of an impact has ISC had on your mental health over the years?
I think it's had a huge impact and it's actually come full circle, I find. So as we've spoken about before, my initial start with ISC was a negative experience. It wasn't a positive one as a teenager. I had no training or really any support. Bladder nurses didn't really exist then. I was just handed a bag and of products and told to go home and get on with it while I was in urinary retention. That did really negatively impact me at the time, and especially as a teenager, it was very hard to go from what had been a fairly normal life to this new place. And I did really, really struggle with my mental health as a teenager and, you know, experienced bullying because of it at school and felt that I was completely separate and different to my peers because of it. And there wasn't really any support or anywhere that I could go to access advice or help or support in any form other than through my family and occasionally speaking with my medical professionals at the hospital. But there just wasn't anything. But coming back around to it and using ISC now as an adult in my 30s and 40s, I've been overwhelmed by the difference of how much support I've received this time round, how different it is, and that there is a lovely little community that we have now that I'm part of and so happy to be a part of. And although ISC has to be part of my daily routine and my life, I don't feel negatively about it anymore. And I feel that actually I've been able, empowered through my new routine and where I'm currently at, to, I feel like I've reached somewhere really positive with my mental health in terms of the connection between the two.
Hey, that's so lovely to hear that. I say you've almost flipped around and come full circle. You've gone from a very negative point in your early years to now you're in such a positive place. And is this something you, Camira Keith, did you have early days of low periods of mental health and then there's been improvements?
It's a difficult one to say, really, because it seems like my issues arrived a lot later than Danny's, in as much that, you know, I was kind of feeling as if I was coming towards the end of my career, and then having to use intermittent self-catheterization, it was the realization that I needed some different things to occur, and I needed different environments to be in, and that had a psychological effect on my mental well-being. I felt a little bit ostracized. I didn't feel as included. There was things I wanted to see, handy things like we've discussed before, like bins and you know, just to preserve your dignity a little bit. So those kind of things had an impact initially, whereas I didn't envisage that they possibly would. I think Danny's right, you know, that sense of community and that has come about for me being a Coloplast ambassador. But had that not been there, I think I would have just been left to God and Providence. I don't think the healthcare setup around me is offering me much support. But having said that, there's a lot more people with more serious conditions that need that I'm not getting. But I don't necessarily have a hotline to anybody that can solve any problems should I have them. I would have to go back through the GP and things. So I've nurtured a way and managed a way of self-management, I think. And you just take the good days with the bad days, and some days are better than others, primarily because I want my level of functioning to be back where it was. I want the ability to go out and enjoy life and have a quality of life that I did before. So I'm hell-bent on not allowing intermittent self-catheterization to stop that.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you mentioned that word quality of life there. And I think that is such an important thing for ISC use, but almost anybody living with any sort of health condition, that actually having a quality of life is so, so important. And sometimes quality of life can just be something simple, like you said, Keith, being able to go to the toilet and not feeling like that there's an issue when you're in that toilet, that, you know, no bins or anything like that. That to me is like part of your quality of life, being able to pop out to the toilet if you need to in a public place and not feeling like there's an issue there. Being able to go out, being able to do your day-to-day. And I think a lot of people, I mean, Danny, you'll probably look at this from a different angle because it's been so much a part of your life growing up. But I think for people that are potentially coming into things later, like you said, Keith, it's almost completely reversing what you're used to, and it makes you look at things in a different angle. Whereas Danny, you've had to constantly look at things through a different life lens almost. And I think it's almost two different aspects of mental health there. You've got people that are mourning the life that they used to have, but then people that are almost mourning a life that they've never had, a life that they've never had. Would you say that's accurate, Danny, in that respect?
Yeah. I mean, when I first started, I was 14, and not only was I recovering from major bowel surgery and this new diagnosis that was going to affect me for the rest of my life, there was just no support there at all. And what that made me do was want to run away from it, pretend it wasn't happening. And I felt incredibly isolated and very, very, very alone. And I didn't feel that I could talk to anybody, and I couldn't share that experience with friends, because I don't think they would ever have heard of it. I don't think they would even know what a catheter was back then. And I already felt different enough. It made me want to make sure that nobody ever knew that about me, and that I was pretending to be this normal person and having to catheterize almost in secret, which made the whole experience even worse. And of course, back then there wasn't any provision in public toilets or anything like that. So what it meant for me was I spent a long part of my teenage years isolated and alone at home, because it was the only place that I felt that I could safely catheterize. And then where I've got to is lovely that I've found a place now where I don't want anybody to ever feel like that. I don't want anybody to feel as alone as I felt or get to the very dark places of my mental health that I was in my 20s. Now I'm able to be able to speak about it. And it is so freeing to be able to say to people, this is my experience. This is why I have to do it. This is the condition. Do you want to know a little bit more about it? Do you want to ask me some questions? And I love that I'm able to now help educate people on it, because hopefully that does allow little bits of change to creep in. And if anything, being able to speak about it and be free about who I am and what I need to do just to live my daily life, it has been freeing, because it's an acceptance, I think. And it's allowed me to say it's okay. And hopefully it's actually helped my mental health, I think, by speaking about it and also having this lovely community that we have.
Yeah, it's almost cathartic, isn't it, being able to speak about something? It's an old adage, isn't it? A problem shared is a problem halved, almost. And Keith, you've got to be looking at things from really, and I think we spoke about it on a podcast last year, Keith, didn't we, that having been working in mental health, but now having experienced issues where you're going to suffer with issues for your mental health, were you able to pull on any of your previous resources that you used to help yourself?
It's a difficult one, really, isn't it? You know, because you know, you can give the best sound advice for other people because it's objective. It's the subjectivity of it. And
yeah,
I was just thinking, as Danny was talking there, I remembered how dirty I felt. And I don't know why. I just felt dirty. I felt unclean. I felt as if I was going to be a burden to the workplace, that I was going to need a bin and I was going to need certain things in place just to allow me to continue to do the job at the same standard I was doing. You know, they took bins away. I keep going on about bins, I apologise. But they took the bins away because COVID was over and they were no longer using paper towels and there wasn't the foresight. And that kind of, I nearly said angered me. It wasn't so much anger, but frustrated me, certainly, that, you know, I had to go into the kitchen and you know, discreetly dispose of a catheter wrapped up in tissue or in a plastic bag in a bin that, you know, could have quite easily been left in the toilets. So there's those kind of things. So those challenges did come about, but I guess I just kind of tried to be practical about how I was going to overcome them, and determined that I was going to do things. So, I mean, just recently, earlier this year, I went on a long-haul kind of holiday, and my overriding worry throughout the whole travel, because I was changing planes, was if my suitcase doesn't make it, how will I get hold of my catheters? How will I be able to access kind of, you know, the facilities to kind of empty my bladder? So I was carrying about 20 in a rucksack, and had 90 in my case. It was, you know, had more kind of catheters in there than I needed, but it was just like the reassurance of that. Thankfully, there was no issues and everything worked out absolutely fine, but it's those little moments of anguish and challenges that kind of...
Like little moments of mental burden there that you've got, almost like that. I always say it's like that little devil on your shoulder telling you that worst case scenario, whispering in your ear going, your suitcase is going to get lost.
That's right.
Yeah, you're not going to get what you need. Whereas in reality, it doesn't happen very often.
And
as you said, it was absolutely fine. Now, is this something that you possibly relate to as well, Danny? I know you spoke on an earlier podcast that you've recently travelled for the first time. Was that a moment that you had, those little moments of almost like new anguish that you'd not become familiar with before because it was such a new experience?
Yeah, I think for anybody, when you have a life-changing diagnosis or needing to use intermittent healthcare products, I think you spend maybe a good couple of years achieving goals, but also having firsts. So the first time that you have to use a public toilet, the first time that you have to catheterize at work. And ultimately, you find ways around it and you overcome it, but you live in a permanent state of kind of fear and trepidation, what if there isn't the provision I need? What if the toilets are dirty? For a very long time, I worried so much about germs because I have that immune deficiency as well and get such bad infections. And again, that led me to not leaving the house and being really concerned about going at work. And I think as a healthcare professional as well, it's so unnatural for us. We are there to focus our whole attention on our patients. We don't even normally consider ourselves. Half the time we don't get lunch or breaks, and that's fine because we're there to focus on our patients. And to suddenly have to very much consider yourself and your needs is alien to a lot of healthcare professionals. But you know that you have to do this 4 to 6 times a day in a very long shift. So there was always those firsts. And for me, like he said, I put off going on holiday for 10 years because of the worry of what if I lose my supplies? What if they lose my luggage? What if I struggle when I'm out there? What if the toilets aren't clean enough? And it was so bad, the worry. It was justified in my head that it was a reason to not go on holiday. And then I finally took the plunge last year and went on a cruise. And what a silly thing for me to have done. You know, it did take preparation. It did take planning. And I did have to take extra supplies. But you know what? Having found a good tick list and following the advice and getting some support with it, I had the most amazing time on my first cruise. And it won't be my last.
I was going to say, you've already booked another one, haven't you?
I have. We have for November. And it opened, it did knock down a lot of the barriers, and it did teach me that it is justified to have these worries and concerns. So if anything, my life has become a little bit about forward planning and making sure that I literally have catheter supplies in every single rucksack and handbag that I own in the car. Just for those, I guess spontaneity is maybe out a little bit, but just for those just in case moments. But that just because that's the case, it doesn't mean I can't say yes to opportunities and that I shouldn't be limiting myself. And I can go on holiday. I can go for weekends away. And I'm just shocked it took me so long to realise it. But I promise now I'm going to enjoy every single moment of it.
Glad to hear it.
It's regaining control, isn't it, where that's been taken away from you. Because, you know, any kind of aspect of control that you lose within your life, you know, I don't know whether you mourn it, but you certainly feel it. It has an impact. Mm. And so, you know, to regain that again is kind of such a welcoming thing. It's almost celebratory.
And establishing a new routine. It is new.
Coloplast Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk to find out more. You both kind of touched on the fact there that being healthcare professionals, you are that used to looking after everybody else. You don't necessarily, as nurses, healthcare professionals, they are some of the worst people at looking after themselves, especially mentally, things like that. You see nurses burn out completely. And now all of a sudden you're having to go, well, actually, do you know what? I have to put myself higher up the list now. I would say top of the list, but I know anyone that's ever worked in healthcare will never put themselves top of the list. They may raise themselves up the list a bit. But it is that natural, nurturing, caring personality that you've got, and you want to do things for other people. And that comes away with control again, because you're actually having to put somebody else in control of your destiny almost at that point. You're giving away some of that control, and it is hard. And I can imagine both of you having come from that background. You're used to doing everything for everybody else, you looking after the person, all of a sudden you're the one, the other side. It is a bit like, oh gosh, this is a different place to be.
You find yourself doing strange things as well, because for me, I consider what would it be like if somebody saw me using a catheter, obviously in a toilet, not in anywhere public, but you think that what would they be thinking? And I went, while I was away, I think it was in a shopping centre somewhere, but the stalls, the cubicles were taken, and I was stood waiting for a couple of minutes, and yet there was a urinal, like a shared one, along the wall. And I thought, if I'm discreet and stand in the corner, I could use my catheter here, and somebody coming in would only see me back. So for the first time, I used my catheter in a shared urinal. It wouldn't be everywhere. I certainly wouldn't do that at the football ground, you know, or anything like that, you know, or even out at the theatre. But on that occasion, you know, but I was thinking, what would it look like if somebody saw me doing this? Would they understand? Would they think I was doing something perverse or, you know, or
strange?
It goes strange.
Back to that devil on your shoulder again, doesn't it? Going, somebody's going to be looking at you. Somebody's going to be talking about you.
Yeah.
Is that something that you found, Danny?
Yeah, I think I found it very hard to play both roles. So I'd got okay with being Danny the patient, Danny who has to catheterize at home. But once I put on that uniform or those scrubs, I was somebody else. And I had a really strange experience where I'd got to a really bad place of not going to the toilet and really being very naughty and kept really catheterizing before I went to work. And when I came home, and it was not a good time. And I had a word with myself and said, okay, this week I'm going to be brave and I'm going to use the disabled toilets on my floor, because the staff toilets didn't have, like Keith said, they're tiny cubicles and they didn't have any space for me to put my products. It wasn't working. So I thought, I'm going to be brave and use the disabled toilet, probably for the first time. Completely forgot I was in my uniform. And I came out of the toilet and somebody completely berated me and said, you shouldn't be using that. You should be using a staff toilet and you're not disabled. And it comes down to that visible idea of what disability is and hidden disabilities. And I went home so upset because I just needed to pee to be able to get back into theatres quickly and do my job. And yet I was being kind of told off for using the place I needed to use. And it was such a strange place to be that after that, it made me think, oh, I just won't at work. And of course you can't do that on a long day shift. You have to go to the toilet. But after that, I did think, this isn't right, this isn't working. And I would just encourage anybody out there in the same position now to speak to occupational health and get certain things put in place to allow you to exercise your right to have your needs met. And you do have to stand up for yourself a little bit and advocate for yourself and say, I will need to go to the bathroom at certain points of the day. So that might mean needing to be relieved or excused from theatre. And once I got over the fear of being judged and not being seen as one of the team or not capable to do my job anymore, nobody had anything to say about it. Only, why hadn't I told them sooner? And was there anything else they could do to help? You forget, we're all in this profession to care for people. We forget to take care of ourselves a little bit sometimes.
Mm. Absolutely. I think, and it was a quote that I think I heard during COVID. We're all in the same storm, but we're not necessarily in the same boat. So we're all going through the same things in life together, but that doesn't mean your boat is the same as somebody else's. Your boat might have a bit of a hole in, my boat might be a little bit wonky, but we're all under that same storm and in that same situation. And we always talk about, if you don't know, you don't know, ask questions, make statements. And it's maybe so sad when you said about the disabled toilets, because it's something that you hear so often with ISC users like yourselves. We hear it from the stoma community as well, that this judgment that, and it's really sad that still, yeah, there's been this campaign for years now, that but it's still thought of as disability has to be visible. There's still got to be, for some people, that physical visual there, whereas that's not how it always is. And not every disability is visible.
I have a radar key, but I've never used it. I'm afraid to use it.
I have used mine and was very shocked to find, I used it at Waterloo train station, actually coming to a Coloplast event for the very first time, because the actual ladies' toilets were locked. I didn't realise that if you use it, somebody else can still get into the toilet if they use theirs. So I was mid-catheterisation. Somebody walked in. They just unlocked it with their key and walked in. I was like, hello. But that was me being brave. I'm going to use my key today. But So that wasn't the best experience, but it is such, you know, it's hard enough to have a hidden disability or any disability and chronic illness alongside it. So we all have this already on our shoulders and this burden that we feel is that we're carrying, but that it's already, you know, maybe affecting our families and our work life situation. But to still in this day and age be confronted by the fact that having to justify something that's just part of our everyday life now is very difficult, and it definitely does impact your mental health, and it does make you think. It's very difficult. Yeah.
You guys, all we're wanting to is go to the toilet. We're not asking for heaven and earth. We're just asking for being able to go to the toilet.
It's such a simple thing. Everybody has to pee. Everybody has to poo. It's a normal bodily function. We all do it. We just do it slightly differently and have to put a little bit of thought into it and use a product. But it certainly isn't something that you should ever have to think on, and it shouldn't be something you should ever have to justify. I know so many of us have had these experiences, and I'm hoping that it will change with the sunflower lanyards, and much more thought is going into the plaques on the toilets that say, you know, not all disabilities are visible. And like I said to you, I did have that conversation with the cruise line that I went on to say, you've done really well here. There's so many disabled access toilets on board, that, and that's wonderful. But can I just mention, like Keith would say, you know, there's just a few things you need. You need some bigger bins. A little pedal bin is not going to be big enough for my bag. And if you could pop a shelf in as well so that I don't have to put my products on the floor or on a baby changing unit, that would be great. I think throughout society, there's just these few little changes that need to be made. And just the knowledge of being able to walk into a toilet and it being ready to go and ready for our needs, that would help so much, because it would take away that constant worry and pressure that you have before you go into a toilet. Oh, is this going to be a problem? Is this going to affect my day? It would just make life so much easier.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to be greedy today. I want two top tips from both of you. I want one to give to any patients that are feeling like they're struggling with their mental health. What would be your top tip to them? And again, I want you to give a top tip to a healthcare professional on how what's that one question they could ask that might help support someone? Who do I pick on first? Danny, I've got to stick with the ladies first thing. Sorry, I went ladies first earlier. I can't back up now.
Just please know that whether you're new to this with ISC and you're just starting your journey, or even if you've been doing it for a long time, because I've been doing it since I was 14, and there are still days where it gets me down, and it is normal to feel that way. There will be highs and there will be lows. And I'd love to say to you that it reaches a point where it's all fine. There will still be highs and lows, and that's okay. And that is completely normal. But what I will say to you is, especially if you're just starting now, it does feel difficult right now. It feels like nothing is ever going to be the same again, and that it's always going to be this difficult. I promise you, with time and patience and the right products and establishing a routine for you, I promise you it will get easier. And that after that point, when you reach that point, it will be okay. Surround yourself with people within the community that are going through the same things you are, and make sure that you've got people like that to talk to. And it really, really does help, I promise.
And how about, I say, what is the one question a nurse that could ask a patient?
I would say whether it's a case of when I'm admitted to a ward or whether I'm speaking to a healthcare professional within the community, one thing I would always like them to consider and maybe ask me would be, you're the expert. This is your body. You know what's happening and you know what's best. What can I do for you? Is there anything that you need from me? You know, whether it's whenever I'm in hospital, they don't often have my catheters, so it's sort of maybe educating them on which ones I use so they can get that supply. But I think acknowledging that I'm an expert and that I have a very set routine, so maybe just asking, you know what you're doing with this, what is it that you need and how can I help you, would be really, really good.
I love that. We often talk within healthcare about nurses should be more curious. So that's really lovely what you've said then, actually being curious, asking those questions. Thanks, Danny. And now, how do you follow that, Keith? Go on. What's your top tip for a patient?
Danny mentioned talking to people, and it seems a bit rich me saying that when I think that was one of the things I had difficulty with at first. But it's about not being afraid, because I think when you become afraid to talk to people, you get into the way of catastrophizing things, and you suddenly think that using a catheter is a bit freakish. And so, you know, try not to go down that vicious circle, really, of catastrophizing what's happening. And as Danny said, really, you know, we all poo, it's normalizing those bodily functions, and it becomes a topic that you're able to discuss then. So I would give that advice to patients.
Really good. Really good one there.
For healthcare staff, I think I would like to see a demonstration of empathy, because we talk about it enough, but you know when somebody connects with you, when they're truly empathic and connect with you. And considering my needs in a holistic way, I'm not just a walking bladder. There's a lot more to me than that. And I think that what we've discussed today with regards to the psychological and mental health aspect of it, the needs and those kind of things, all come together. You can't treat one without the other. So just a bit of empathy and a bit of understanding around what it means for me to have that quality of life in a holistic way.
It's not a one-size-fits-all process, is it? And we all have different reasons for being here and using ISC, and it's always nice to have that acknowledged. And I think we've seen in the community recently there is a need for better education on the topic with healthcare professionals. And I would just say, from my experience, if you're a healthcare professional that hasn't heard about ISC or urostomies or anything connected with the topic of catheterization, just take it upon yourself to go and read up on it. And, you know, I promise you, that will make your patients feel heard and valued, and it does make such a difference.
Thank you both so much. It's been great to have you both back, and always enjoy these podcasts with you guys. And what an important topic to talk about this week in Mental Health Week. And hopefully it's given people a bit of confidence to move forward, whether it be as a nurse, whether it be as a patient. It's given that little bit of confidence to talk. So thank you both so much. And to everybody listening, we will see you next time. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit coloplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Coloplast Professional.